This is our second talk in our ongoing study of the prayer of Jabez. Today, we will look at the second prayer, or the second petition, in the prayer. Jabez prays, "Oh, that you would enlarge my territory. Oh, that you would enlarge my territory." In John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 7 through 8, we hear Jesus speaking to the disciples at the Last Supper. And he says, "Ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." In the time of Jabez, territory, land, for the Jews was very important. During Abraham's time, they lived as sojourners or as nomads. During the time of enslavement in Egypt, they had no land. During the time of the Exodus, for 40 years, they wandered around without territory or land. Now that they had settled down, having land, having turf, was very important. And of course, this is important for us in our own day too. Having some territory, having some land, having a space you can call your own, signifies to us stability, security, and success. But of course, territory also signifies responsibility. Jabez, in asking for an expanded territory, was asking for expanded responsibilities, and of course, expanded possibilities. We can make a reasonably good inference that Jabez wanted these things for God's greater honor and glory, because the scripture tells us in those two short verses that Jabez was an honorable man. Do you want more territory? Do you want more for your life, more for your discipleship, than a small little piece of real estate? Oftentimes we hear this saying, "Oh, if I can only reach one person for God, then my life will have been worthwhile." I often think to myself, what a waste. I look at myself. I entered the seminary as a 15-year-old high school student. I spent 11 years in seminary education. I was a deacon for 4 years. I will have been a priest for 20 years this coming May. I have 2 master's degrees. I have extensive education and extensive experience. Can you imagine what it would be like if at the end of my life I go to God and say, "Well, Lord, I touched one person for you in all of that time"? I'm sure God will say, "What a waste." You will recall the parable we had a month ago, where servants were entrusted with 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. And the servant with one talent, simply went off and buried it and gave back the master what had been given to him. He did not get a good reception. No, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, then God will be glorified through us and through our bearing much fruit, not just a small little cluster of grapes. It's very clear from the scriptures, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God's will is to touch the world, to touch the whole world, to touch every nook and cranny, every corner in the world. The question that this talk poses, this part of the prayer of Jabez, is, what is my part of the territory? Or better, what and where are my spheres of influence? Where are my circles of influence for God? Another way we might look at this is to think of this in areas of ministry. The word ministrare in Latin, we get the word ministry, administrator, administration. The word means to serve, but not the service of an unthinking slave, not the service of one who is simply told what to do, when to do, and how to do it. No, an administrator is a servant who uses his or her own abilities, ingenuities, creativity, and initiative for the sake of what they're administering. While it's true that St. Paul says we are slaves of Jesus Christ, in another sense, we are also ministers. That is, people who have to engage our talents and our abilities and our capacities for the sake of God. We might think of my territory equals my sphere of influence equals my potential ministry. In the New Testament, it is clear that we are all called to ministry. Ministry, creative use of our talents and our abilities for the sake of God's kingdom, is not something that is exclusively reserved to those who are the clergy, the bishops, priests, and deacons, nor to religious, nor to professionally trained people. In the first letter of St. Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, we read that we were all made royal priests to proclaim the praises of God in the world. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 18 and 20, we realize or see that we are commissioned to make disciples of all peoples. All of us are commissioned for that. In Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, we have the assurance that every believer receives power from the Holy Spirit. In the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, we see that every believer has been given a spiritual gift. And in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, we see that every believer is created for a specific good work. How do you identify your territory, your spheres of influence, your potential ministry? Well, what are your passions? What are the things that drive you, that engage you, the things that just cause a fire going in your soul? These are your potential areas. Your work, your abilities, your family, your friends, the place where circumstances find you, even circumstances that are beyond your control. When God called Abraham, he promised that he would make of him a great nation, that he would give him descendants more numerous than the stars of heaven, than the grains of sand on the shore of the sea. But he had to set out. He had to leave his home, he had to leave his father and his own country, and set out for the land that God promised him if his territory would be expanded. In the desert, God called Moses and sent him back to Egypt. And there he called Moses and the Israelites out of slavery, out of captivity in Egypt. But they had to get up, and they had to set out into the desert. And having wandered for a very short period in the desert, they come to the very edge of the promised land, and they go in to reconnoiter it, they go in to check it out. And they come back, and it's true, it's a beautiful land, but they're going to have to take it. Out of fear, all of the scouts, except for Caleb and Joshua, back down. And the people refused to go in and take the land that God promised them. As a consequence, they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. They still had to take the land. They still had to go in and fight for that which God was going to give them. Before he ascends to heaven, Jesus gives the Great Commission. And he tells the disciples, he tells the apostles, he tells us to go into the whole world and make disciples. We have to get up and go. In the last talk, we saw how we need to ask for God's blessings, all the blessings that God has for us in our life. But we ask for God's blessings, why? Well, so that we can expand our territory, so that we will have a larger sphere of influence, so that God will be able to use us to administer more and more territory for His glory. And you can be sure that as God stretches out our territory, as He expands our spheres of influence, God will also stretch us. He will expand us. I want to take a look later at Acts chapter 10. There we have the story of Peter, who is at prayer one day, and he gets a vision. And in the vision there is a sheep with all sorts of animals, and he's told to kill and eat. He refuses because they're unclean animals, and God says, do not, or rather the voice that he hears, the voice of God, tells him, do not call unclean what God has called clean. No sooner does he have the vision than some messengers arrive for him coming from the house of Cornelius in Caesarea, up by the seacoast. Cornelius, a great Roman centurion who was a religious man, a God-fearing man, a prayerful man, a generous man. And now God wanted to expand his kingdom to include Cornelius and his entire household. Peter was going to have to expand his understanding of who Jews could hang out with, who Jews could speak to, with whom Jews could eat, if he was going to expand the kingdom and his territory and his share in that kingdom. One of the things that often keeps us from stepping out or looking to expand our territory is fear. Fear. We often live out of fear. Sometimes we think we're too shy. No, I'm just an introvert. I really can't go and talk to people. I really can't get too broad-based with people. Sometimes we have the fear that we're ungifted. I don't have much education. Moses tried to use that. I can't speak very well. Sometimes we're afraid that we will fail, that we will not be able to pull it off. Sometimes we're unwilling to surrender control of our life. We like our life as it is. We're not willing to let God take us where he wants us to go, when he wants us to be, and how he wants us to be. And sometimes we just were extended. We're over busy. We've just got too many commitments going already. We couldn't possibly do something more for God. These thoughts are all normal, of course. Moses had this thought. Moses said, I don't know how to speak. God promised him he'd take care of someone for the speaking. Samuel was just a young boy when he heard God's voice speaking to him at the temple at Shiloh. Jeremiah tried to claim, oh, I'm too young. And Isaiah tried to claim that he was too sinful. Mary was afraid as the angel showed up, and poor Joseph didn't know what to do with the overwhelming scandal that was about to befall him. And yet, in all of these circumstances, and so many more, we hear the words coming from God through his angels to all of these people, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife. To Mary, do not be afraid. You have won God's favor. To Jeremiah, he says, do not say, I am too young. To whom I send you, you shall go. To Isaiah, as the angel takes a burning coal from the altar, see, I put my words in your mouth. And to Moses, he gives Aaron to be the speaker, to be the mouthpiece. 24 years ago, when Pope John Paul II inaugurated his ministry, his service as pastor of the Universal Church, he began his homily with the words, do not be afraid, open wide the doors to Christ. And continually throughout his ministry as Pope, he has repeated those words, do not be afraid. And most recently, as we concluded the celebration of the second millennium of Christianity, the Jubilee year, he began to quote Jesus to put out into the deep, as he speaks to the disciples and tells them to move the water. If they're going to catch fish, they'll find them out in the deep water. It's very interesting. It's a very safe for a ship to be in harbor, but of course, ships weren't made to sit in the harbor. Another little saying you might want to keep in your mind as we think about this and ask God to expand our territory. Don't be afraid to take a big step. You can't cross a chasm in two small jumps. Here are a few little questions that you might want to think about and share with in yourself. How could a person who is already feeling busy or overwhelmed enlarge his or her life for God? When was the last time you asked God for more ministry? What happened? What territory should I be looking to expand? You might want to get the help of other people who might see more of your gifts and abilities and possibilities. What territory should ourselves expand into? And how should the territory of our parish expand? I'm particularly interested in our reflections on that last one. How will we, as a parish, expand our territory? God bless.